Welcome everybody to the Axis of Easy podcast. This week, tragedy in Tumblr Ridge. A man decides to control his own vacuum and winds up controlling about 6,999 more vacuums. Google's patching some 0 days, and we have, of course, more age verification stories. All that and more this week on Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Axis of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Len, what's going on, buddy? How the heck you doing? Good to see you. Good to be with you here Thursday yet again.
Yeah, it's a great day. Got to go to London this weekend, looks like.
Why?
We got to leave the basement. There's a 94 tournament.
Oh, nice.
Truck. This is an impromptu one. So I'm going to go there, see if I can make some people cry and throw their controllers and come home.
Are you like ill prepared for an impromptu one and hoping that others are ill prepared? Or are you hoping that, or you think everyone is always prepared to throw down in 94?
Well, given that nobody knows what the heck's this tournament's about, so not prominent individuals, either they live in a vacuum and they're really good and they play each other, or they're just a bunch of jabronis, and we'll see what they're all about. I'm gonna go there and give them my best. And again, like, if nobody cries or nobody throws a controller, I'm pissed. That's my goal for the weekend.
I'm looking forward to hearing all about that next week. Let's talk about the Axis of Easy podcast. Last week's quote: the foundation of all mental illness is the avoidance of legitimate suffering. That was by Carl Jung. Kev is our winner. Shout out to you, Kev. Nice job. This week's quote: all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. If you know who that was by, put it in the comment section. Don't forget, you can only look on the back of your Timex watch from Walmart for the answer. I guess you could have bought a Casio too. No Googling, no searching. And if you know the answer and get it first, you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. So Tumblr Ridge is our lead story. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's an odd one because there was some communication between the perpetrator of the attack and OpenAI's, their ChatGPT system. So back in June of last year, OpenAI's internal system, they flagged the perpetrator's account for what they say, quote unquote, misuse in furtherance of violence activities. They did this months ago. And even though they had dozens of employees aware that there was this interaction going on that was troubling, and there's even giving scenarios of gun violence, OpenAI didn't ban the account. They kept it open. And they didn't even notify the RCMP because they said that this allegedly did not meet their internal threshold for imminent and credible threat. Imagine that. You get all this information that happens beforehand, and then something happens, you didn't act on it. They have blood on their hands here. And so this is going to force Canada to act, right? Like, so you're going to have now Canada try to do something. You had the Evan Solomon. He was expressing disappointment and anger at OpenAI, given the fact that they didn't do anything. Legislation is going to come out. They're going to be pushing for stuff that's going to be forcefully having them act on stuff. If you're going to prompt something to any ChatGPT, Gemini, whatever, Grok, that information could potentially end up in the authorities' hands. It could be something that you're talking, and it may, you know, may just be in passing. They could misconstrue it as something being against the state or maybe against a particular individual, and it may not be. But you know what? This is heading a direction which is going to be, I think it's going to be brutal moving forward. That's the way I look at it. They have an AI minister. Think about that. That alone should give you an indication which way this is trending.
Why do you think that OpenAI bears responsibility for this?
They, like, for months, that there was communication between the perpetrator and OpenAI, and even scenarios of gun violence, like I mentioned. Shouldn't that trigger something? If you're going out there, I don't know the exact context of the discussion between the person and the system. But if there's discussion in there about how could I kill people, what's the most effective way to do so, you know, that should be flagging something. And then furthermore, the fact that if they obviously didn't do anything, if they did, and the RCMP has been to this person's house numerous times for health related issues, something may have happened to stop this.
You're getting warmer. Christmas. You're getting warmer. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, but yeah. Still,
I'm in like stark disagreement with you here. I think the OpenAI bears actually the least responsibility across all the platforms that are implicated here. And I'll tell you why. The shooter's account, what is his name? Van Roosler or something like that. The kid's account was banned on Roblox years ago for his encouragement and continued commentary and participation around quote unquote active shooter games. I'll just quote here from a City News article. This is not the only evidence, only example, of alarming activity by the shooter. Van Rootsalar's Roblox account was also banned after game developers found it was being used in a game encouraging users to go on a virtual shooting spree. As well, the suspect also made several posts detailing psychotic breaks, childhood traumas, and an interest in mass shooters. That was on Reddit. So two strikes. Then you have the third strike, which is the RCMP going to the house and finding guns with expired pals, threats of violence, and other things that drove them to the property, unwilling to do anything that actually stopped the violence. OpenAI bears the least responsibility here, but the other parties are very difficult to go after, especially the RCMP. The RCMP failed in its responsibility to protect that family, that community, and that kid from this event. They left weapons in his possession, knowing that he was mentally unstable. They left firearms in the house, even though there was already evidence of firearms violations. And they completely failed, I think, to see what was obviously going to be a problem. I would imagine they had access to stuff like Reddit posts and Roblox info by the time they went to the house for the first time, did nothing about it. OpenAI is an easy scapegoat because people are seeing these stories, and we've talked about them on the show, about the way that kids interact with AI. And of course, why else is it important to go after OpenAI, Len? Because it's another angle to remove anonymity from the web. And so I have very little sympathy for Minister Solomon and the current government when they say that OpenAI is, you know, quote unquote, responsible for this. I just don't see it that way. And I know that, you know, Mark, who wrote the letter, says that OpenAI should have done something, maybe, but to say that they're the one who bears the blame, I think is just completely wrong. And it really does exonerate parties who needed to make an attempt to stop this from happening well in advance. Specifically the RCMP. That is, that they are the ones who should have acted. They are the ones who, by the way, have action in their mandate. Not Reddit, not OpenAI, not Roblox, them. These other guys can report and discuss and ban and discourage and add disclaimers and add ID requirements, but it is the RCMP who has the action as part of their mandate. They didn't execute, and this is the result. I think that's a fair assessment of what happened.
You're correct in the fact that the RCMP should have acted and they should have done something. And I don't know if you're giving enough blame to OpenAI. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Replace OpenAI with an individual, a human being, because that people now are replacing human beings with chatbots. And say they confined in their friend or whatever, and they were telling them, asking questions about shooting people, and maybe disclose, maybe I was going to go ahead and shoot up a school. And then that friend never told the police. Is that person responsible, even the least bit responsible for the tragedy? I would say yes. So I would just then substitute OpenAI with the friend. That's what's being done here by a lot of people, unfortunately. And so they should have, they have the ability to scan this stuff. They could go through all the information they have. They have data.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You don't want that. You know, and friend of the show, Michael Geist, made the point that like you don't expect Google to actively report on and monitor emails, for example. And like that, you know, you don't want that. And I'll just note one thing, because you're pointing out a gap in legal requirements and sort of this understanding of the relationship between the person using the chatbot and what the chatbot is. There's a legal precedent from 1976. This happened in California. It's called the Tarasoff principle. And it basically imposes on like therapists the duty to report when patients are posing credible threats. And the question is whether or not the chatbot is that sort of, you know, is the chatbot the other end of the relationship that needs to be required to do these things? Right now, it's not. And so there's no legal requirement. That's what I'm saying. There's no legal requirement to do this for OpenAI. There's no legal requirement for Roblox or Reddit. But when the threat becomes clear at the level of the RCMP, like, to me, that's where you want to see the rubber hit the road. You know, you want to see OpenAI do something, but OpenAI reporting it, Len, would land, where would it go from there? Right. It would go to the RCMP showing up. And by the way, the RCMP has been is familiar with this family for a number of different reasons, including now this, you know, the brother of this kid who's just been arrested for a murder as well. Like, you can't, the RCMP has to come clean on this and say, look, you know, like, even if OpenAI reported, this is what OpenAI will say. Even if OpenAI told you this was happening, it's not like you didn't show up at the house anyways. You showed up at the house because there was a threat of violence and a problem and you did nothing.
Yeah.
So what would have changed? So what would have changed?
I would hope, and I just don't know because revisionist history, I don't have the ability to see what's going on in the past. Like, all I would say is that's just more ammunition that the RCMP probably would have to actually act on something. Now, again, like I say, this is a slippery slope. Anybody that's going to be interacting with these chatbots, if they could misconstrue what you're asking it, and if it's used against you, that is problematic. This is just a centralized service. Any centralized service you're using, be it YouTube, Twitter, you name it, you are the product here. You are using their service, their terms and agreements. And if you do something that's against, or if they want to search, they have every ability, every right to do so. So if you don't like this type of stuff, you should try very hard to try to get away from these centralized services. That'll give you an opportunity to use the interweb in a very clear fashion, the way you used to be, right? You don't want to have more surveillance. You want to have less surveillance. But people are using this stuff. If you are, just be ready. This is centralized. And you'll be nabbed in the future.
Tragedy, in any case, that will ultimately land us with, I think, less freedoms, as you mentioned there. So, yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next story.
Yeah, let's talk about these North Korean dudes that, the GitLab threat intelligence team, they gave us some information about something called a contagious interview. I find it interesting. The North Korean, they're posing as recruiters to try to trick software developers out there to spread malware. In 2025 alone, GitLab, they banned over 130 accounts linked to these types of people. And they are using pretty advanced stuff. They're running a full stack of corporate operations like AI-generated personas, custom domains, automated pipelines to build professional connections in LinkedIn, you name it. These guys are doing it. And once a developer is quote-unquote hired for technical assessment, they are then asked to clone a repository and run a project. Well, hidden in these dependencies is a multi-stage loader. And in over 80% of the cases, the malware is not even on GitLab. The repo contains a concealed loader. And what these things are going to be doing? Well, they're meant to steal crypto like Bitcoin and altcoins, fingerprint harvesting, getting information like your credentials, your browser history, keychains, setting up backdoors in your OS, be it Linux, Windows, macOS, you name it. And they are also doing this with the help of AI to help write their malware. So they're speeding things up. They're making AI is involved in everything these days. And from 2022 to 2025, they weren't just hacking. They were successfully landing legitimate remote contract work. Remember, that was a time COVID was still in full swing, or at least the end of it. There's still a lot of people working from home. And when they were getting these remote jobs, what were they doing? They're getting money, the hard currency, and sending it back home to the regime. And a beauty example here, Joey, of how far they went to take it. A North Korean operator actually submitted a ticket to GitLab. They submitted a support ticket posing as a CTO. Why? To complain that their account has been unfairly banned for malware distribution. I absolutely love this stuff. That's all I gotta say.
I think that probably it's not really funny, but it's interesting. We talk a lot about North Korean hackers on this show. They're very busy over there. Yeah, there's not much going on in terms of like real economy in North Korea. So this is what they spend their time doing. Do you know? So I got some data here. The estimates from some American researchers on how much money these guys have stolen over the last few years. Have you seen these numbers?
It's in the tens of billions, isn't it?
It's not quite there. It's 1.34 billion in crypto over 24. So in 24, that's 61% of the total global number, lot. 2.2 billion in 25, which included the Bybit hack. And they think the deputy NSA, former deputy NSA, Ann Neuberger thinks that more than half of North Korea's nuclear weapons funding has come from illicit cyber operations. How about that? You like that? How about that number? Like that's not just like going on a trip and buying a Prada purse. That's what proliferation.
You know, when your country's sanctioned and you have no tourism industry whatsoever and you nothing to export, let's do this kind of nefarious activities.
Internet. It is crazy. I am surprised there's nothing in here about about the gender of the AI avatars. I'd be curious about did they whip up a few good looking Korean women and you so handsome, share this with your whole team.
How goes your trade?
Yeah, how's your trade going? That was the earliest AI. We didn't know how good we had it.
Okay, DJI Romo. It's like sounds like a
we use DJI mics, by the way. The podcast has DJI wireless mics that are really, really good. Hopefully not controlled
the Tony
by
Romo version. You got the right. you have the competent stuff.
I got the good stuff, yeah.
Right. Not the vacuums where somebody was able to discover you could get into it, the back end credentials, and get control of not just this guy did it. He was able to control not just his device, but also nearly 7,000 other devices across 24 countries out there.
Did it by mistake.
Just happened to come across it. And the failure is in DJI's MQTT messenger broker infrastructure, and because it lacked top level access controls, once authenticated with a single device token, the guy could view plain text data, access live camera feeds, listen to microphone audio, download 2D floor plans from private and homes out there. And it's not just a vacuum that's the issue. Hackers in the past, they were able to get to the DBOT X2 vacuums to yell, this is a joke, Joey. They were able to get them to yell slurs at owners and chase pets back in the day. I don't know what the heck they were doing with that. Anyways, it goes to show you that the app side verification, it's not there. The server side is problematic as well. And yeah, these aren't just vacuums anymore. Like we look at these devices, they're cleaning our floors, they're doing everything. They're mini computers. Right, they're out there, they're scanning, they're listening, they're looking, and they're able to do stuff and interact with the environment. And well, if somebody gets access to that information, whatever that's interacting with the environment, that information could be sent to the mothership. All you could really do is make sure you change the passwords, get good stuff, that stuff that hasn't been hacked in the past. This DJI Romo is not cheap too. This is some high-end
DJI high-end makes stuff. Good stuff. They make like good drones, good cameras, good everything. They got a lot of lot of good gear. I mean, the mics we have are incredible. They're so good. So
I don't know, do it the old-fashioned way. Bust out the vacuum, get the broom, and then do it yourself. That way, for sure, if it's analog, I can guarantee you it's not going to be hacked.
Hackers also got another Chinese vacuum brand in 24, Ecovacs DBOT X2, as you mentioned there. So like this is a ongoing issue, but I think isn't the major story here that there's mics on the vacuums? It's one thing to have like a speaker on the vacuum. Maybe if the vacuum's like, is the vacuum voice controlled? Is that what I'm hearing here? Like what, why? And then again, like I think the problem was, it's not about whether or not this was intentional, but on DJI's part to leave this like open door to see in anyone's vacuum memory, get access to the camera, the floor plans, all that stuff. It's not about whether it's intentional. What we're seeing here, I think, is two big stories. One is that the vacuums can do this at all, right? The vacuum builds out a floor plan. It has it stored somewhere. It can be removed from the device. As well as any audio and video that it records or transmits, it's all there and it's all easy to get. That's one problem. The other problem, though, and I think it's a bigger problem, is that these tools now, make trying, you know, a million different keys on a million different doors trivial. It used to be difficult to do something like this just for fun, right? Now you can do something like this just for fun, thanks to, you know, Claude, Anthropic, or Anthropic's Claude, and ChatGPT's OpenAI, or I have that backwards, Perplexity, Grok. Like, as these things improve in quality and availability, this sort of thing just becomes a hobby, does it not? People are going to be trying all sorts of stuff. Like, what other things can I break into? Garage door openers. Like, do you remember how much of a crisis it was a few years ago when those Flipper Zeros came out?
They're now banned in Canada.
And so, what do you think has more? So, what do you think has more firepower, this or a Flipper Zero? Like, what are we? Like, what is the? This is a difficult. This is going to be a difficult question for law enforcement to answer at some point. Like, what are we going to allow people to prime their LLMs to try and do here? Because the LLM will do anything as long as you know how to ask it. And you know, if it's maybe it's come up with a cure for some terminal illness, great. But sometimes it's going to be, can I look into my neighbor's vacuum camera? How hard is that going to be? That's interesting, man. It's very, very interesting what's going on with these tools now.
Well, and you just have to have the state go knocking door to door to make sure that people have...
Let me see your vacuum.
Yeah, you're compliant. Not to the gulag you go. Sir, I only have a broom. That's all I have. Whatever. Let's... talk about the
soon robotic vacuums be required. You'll be mandated to have a robotic vacuum. Yeah, so the state can just check in on what you're doing there,
exactly. Yeah? Because if you have just a broom, they think there's something's up.
That's like, right.
What the heck's going on?
This guy's gonna be the next Waco, next Ruby Ridge. Yeah,
so yeah, Chrome got its first 0-day reported for 2026. There could be a bunch others that have yet to go unreported. Friends, don't let friends use Chrome, use something else. And they released a emergency out-of-band patch to fix this. It was a highly severe zero-day vulnerability in Chrome CSS engine discovered in February 11th and patched just 2 days later. And it's an invalidation bug. It's kind of interesting. The browser tries to loop through a series of fonts features while simultaneously changing the set. And it created a dangler pointer that the browser reference memory has already been freed. So an attacker could then spray that freed memory with malicious data. Arbitrary code could be executed. And even if a user was just visiting a specially crafted web page, it could happen. So it didn't require any user interaction. Just simply going to a website, it's enough that it could trigger the exploit. So if you're using Chrome, a lot of people are, I assume, given the popularity of it, make sure you're using version 0.75/76 on Windows Mac or 0.75 on Linux. And from what I gather here, a lot of people, they don't patch their stuff, or they do, but they just don't restart it, because in order to actually make any sort of patches take effect, you got to restart the browser. Some people keep these browsers open for weeks, from what I've been reading.
Yeah,
like, that's,
if you're in a corporate environment, you can't even update it anyways. You have to, like, it has to be updated
from the mothership.
That's right. So,
but if
it's
a 0-day, they're going to be actively rolling it out. But yeah, keep in mind, this is just the first 0-day that came out that's known. There's an unknown amount that has yet to be reported, and people are taking advantage of it. That's the reality.
Yeah, they average about 8 to 10 every year. Google does. So
that's known.
I shouldn't say Google. Chrome does. I mean, what could you can't, 0 days are a good topic to cover because it gives people a heads up. But as far as like analysis and commentary, there's not really much we can say. Like, you know, there was no damage done. You know, it's like, all right, well, thanks for your, you know, attention to this matter, as the president says, and off we go again. So, you know, I'm not sure if you're a Chrome user or not. I would guess no, but you probably are a Chromium browser user, right? What is
Vandenium I use. That's how okay. I came in my, I like that. And it works. Yeah. I have Firefox derivative for my my computer.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if it works, it works. I don't know. I personally don't use Chrome, but I know, you know what's interesting too, Len, about stuff like Claude. So when I use Claude to do certain things, like in the co-work section, do you know what browser it demands? It demands Chrome.
Edge?
demands Chrome. So interesting, right? You might start seeing some more vulnerabilities as this thing continues to gain adoption and traction. But I'd be surprised if it didn't, to be honest with you. So let's see if we have some more stories like this over the next few months.
And I can't remember. There's something that, I mean, I use Linux on my desktop. There's something I do with it that, and it happens maybe once a year, every 2 years. I have to install Chrome to do something because somebody sends over something to me. Is it Zoom or something? I can't remember. But then as soon as I install it, I uninstall it as soon as I finish.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I forget what it is. Either way, there's one particular thing that I can't get away from Chrome. It's a yearly or bi-yearly thing that I got to deal with Chrome.
Do they have an up-to-date Linux version? They must, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And so Reddit, well, they decided they're going to get fined. They got fined. Is at $14.47 million by the UK government. And it's kind of breach of children's privacy. And because they're saying that, you know, they got to do figuring out people's age. And are you 13? Is that what they're asking? The self-declaration, they're saying, no, that's just too easy to bypass, according to the regulators. And the trust in the user is just, it's not really required. It should be something more out there. Because the UK, they're forcing people to submit facial scans, selfies, or government IDs, and we're using Persona. I think they dumped them not too long ago.
Yeah.
I seem to recall they dumped them. But either way, we're walking down a path here. It's not trying to block stuff for images or getting, they want control. They want to have total control. They want a biometric footprint of what
they don't want. No anonymity. Anonymity is bad.
Reddit, I mean, no, it was not Discord, I think, that got rid of Persona. My mistake. It was Discord
just got rid of them earlier this week. Yeah, because they had an issue with honeypotting or something like that.
That's it, yeah. So now Reddit, you know, whatever. What a disaster this is turning out to be. Again, when you're using these centralized services, you have to adhere to their rules, their regulations. And then on top of that, they have to adhere to the government's rules and regulations if they want to service the people over there. Simply using a VPN may or may not work in certain cases. It could flag you. Who the hell knows? But you know what? It's too bad. Reddit, they have deep pockets, and they're going to have to dig into them to pay this fine. It's a lot of money.
Let's tie a bow on this episode by thinking about our first story, the Tumblr Ridge tragedy, where the shooter posted on Reddit about basically tripping out on drugs and violent predispositions with an anonymous account. You know, we want OpenAI to, or we, you, want OpenAI to pursue these things a little more seriously. I mean, so do I. I would have preferred they reported this too. I shouldn't say just you. If Reddit had followed this rule in Canada, this is obviously a UK story, but if Reddit had followed this rule in Canada, then presumably the push would have been from Reddit to the RCMP or to law enforcement to say, hey, by the way, got a guy on here who is saying stuff that he shouldn't be saying or whatever. And he's in these different forums and people are also talking to him or her, I guess, like depending on how you feel about those things. What is the responsibility here from Reddit? Well, If they had this stuff already in place, the responsibility would be greater, which I think, at least in part, is probably why Reddit is pushing back or paying the fines. Because what you don't want is the sort of like 2A as far as like the steps here. The first step is making sure there's no anonymity. But the second step is if you know who everyone is, then you have to police every single comment on your platform. And there's just no chance that you're not going to be held liable if something goes wrong and somebody told another person on your platform that something was going to happen. So these are big issues, and at scale, they're very difficult to imagine because we've just never dealt with anything like this before. Reddit must have 100 million users. You know, like, what is the number?
It's a huge number.
It's huge. And so like,
but how many are real? How many are bots?
Does it even matter? You're going to have to report on the bots too. So like, you know, what is the likelihood that Reddit looks at this from a purely dollars and cents, right? They just drill down to brass tacks and they go, well, it's not feasible to run this, you know, KYC AML. It's not feasible to be held responsible for every comment on the platform if something goes sideways. And it's not feasible to pay the legal fees to protect ourselves. So we're just going to keep paying this fine. Like that's another thing that the governments have to consider is that these monsters, these monoliths, are going to start thinking this way. Now, I will note that on the same, we're not talking about it in this story, but Apple is now doing device level verification for age in the UK. So you get a phone, you got to give them your age, your birth certificate, whatever, prove it. And then everything on that phone is tied to you. Right. And, you know, that's an interesting, you know, I'm kind of rambling, but all this to say that there's a gale force wind assisting in rolling these things out all over the West. And my spidey sense is tingling in a way that it hasn't in some time about why all of a sudden this push. And my theory is not for this program, and we're not going to share it here. We are done for today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe to the channel, YouTube, podcast feeds, wherever you get your shows. There's always more than what Len and I talk about on the show at accessofeasy.com. You can check out more from EasyDNS at easydns.com. And I think that's it. We'll see you next week.
Take care.